It's got my mind on you, and everywhere I turn is a reminder.
Good morning. Welcome to Barah Ministries, an intimate local Christian church with a worldwide impact. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. Thanks for listening to this Bible lesson. You may be wondering some things about Barah Ministries, like who is the God we worship, what is our source of truth, and who is our enemy? Well, we're always happy to begin each lesson answering these questions after a short, thought-provoking introduction. One of the worst things we do as believers in Christ is to rehash the past. We carry around years and years of hurts and never get over them, never let them go. We keep looking over our shoulders, wondering how we can fix the past, but we can't. We obsess about our mistakes. Psychologists call this phenomenon carrying emotional baggage, reconsidering over and over the unresolved traumas of our lives that have not been put into perspective. And this practice is detrimental to mental well-being, and it destroys genuine relationships, perhaps healthy ones. I am a master of this practice. Often we reason that if past relationships are awful, all future relationships will be the same. Well, God wants us to give Him the emotional baggage. He wants us to slam all our cares on His back because He cares for us, which is a Greek idiom that means God considers our problems to be His responsibility. He promises to work all things together for our good. And His approach to the past is highlighted by the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. He wants us to keep on forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, and to press on to the goal for the prize of the upward call of God the Father for those in union with Christ Jesus. It's wise to follow the Lord's advice. This is the kind of wisdom we get in Bible study. This is one of the many reasons that we bother to learn the Lord's thinking through Bible study. Well, who is the God we worship at Barah Ministries? We worship a triune Godhead. There's one God who reveals Himself to mankind as three beings who are separate, distinct, co-equal, co-infinite, co-eternal persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God the Father is the author of the triune Godhead's plan for all creatures. Got emotional baggage? Luckily, God the Father is a cleansing agent who can rid you of your burdens of the past. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says this: if we walk in the light, as God the Father Himself is in the light. And that's a third-class condition, if in the Greek. Maybe we will, maybe we won't. We have a choice. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, God the Father's Son, cleanses us from all sin. God the Father is willing and able to get rid of the pain of the past for you. God the Son, the Lord, volunteered to execute God the Father's plan, taking on human form as Jesus, the Christ, the Jewish Messiah. Believing in Him is the one and only way to heaven. Got emotional baggage? The Lord can wash it away. Titus chapter 3, verse 5 says this: the Lord Jesus Christ saved believers in Christ, not on the basis of deeds we have done in self-righteousness — that's what we're learning in Romans — but according to His mercy. And His mercy means not giving us, when we're unbelievers, the wrath of God the Father that sin deserves, by the washing of regeneration and through renewing by God the Holy Spirit. If the Lord can save us, he can handle your emotional baggage. We are cleansed by means of the Lord's regeneration. He purchased us from slavery to sin, and we're made completely new so that we never have to be burdened again by our past. The Lord is able and willing to help. When you invest your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, asking him to save you, by believing in him, you instantly have the resurrection life, eternal life in his name. We worship God the Holy Spirit. He is our mentor and teacher, the guide who is the rudder of the Christian life. Got emotional baggage? If God the Holy Spirit can give us a new birth, a new start, a great eternal future, washing us once and for all with the water of the word, he can certainly handle emotional baggage. John chapter 3, verse 5 says this, Jesus answered, truly I say to you, he's talking to Nicodemus here, a religious Pharisee of 20 years. Jesus answered Nicodemus and said, truly, truly I say to you, unless one is born again of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. God the Holy Spirit is able and willing to wash away your spiritual deadness, and he certainly can wash away your emotional pain. If God the Father, and God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, believers in Christ have a power team that is always on their side, a team who specializes in the impossible. Are you willing and able to call on them for help in times of trouble? What is our source of truth at Barah Ministries? It's important to get to know God as a person, as Christians. The way to develop a deep, intimate, and personal relationship with the Lord and with the entire Godhead is through the study of the Word of God. And the Bible is the Word of God. Got emotional baggage? Then you're carrying around filth that stains your life and robs you of joy. In James chapter 1, verse 22, he recommends that you put aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, and in humility, receive the word of God implanted, which is able to save your souls. The word of God gives us perspective, so we know how to hold the hurts of the past. The scars don't go away, but misery can. The Bible is a supernatural work breathed into human writers by God, and it is the ultimate source of absolute truth. At Barah Ministries, we teach the Bible from God's perspective, and not from man's perspective, because we refuse to teach as doctrinal truth the precepts of men. Well, who is our enemy at Barah Ministries? God has an enemy, Satan, whom God made the ruler of this world for a finite period of time. He's the enemy of believers in Christ as well. Satan is a trash talker. He loves to remind you of your mistakes. If you're not letting go of emotional baggage, then likely you're listening to Satan. You're influenced by his world system of deception, and you're hearing loudly the flesh inside of you more than you are listening to God and his word. Satan is a deceiver who wants you to think you can correct the past by reflecting on it obsessively. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, Paul warns us about Satan's effectiveness at deception. He says, I, Paul, am afraid that just as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. But Isaiah 43:18 reminds us, do not call to mind the former things or ponder things of the past. It's even more painful if you don't put the past in perspective. You can't change the past. Let me repeat that. You can't change the past. In God's plan for you, the past is there for your education and your edification. It is not there to haunt you. Let God handle your emotional baggage because he's expert at it. Today's Bible lesson, what gifts does God give you along with justification by faith? What gifts does God give you along with justification by faith? Well, we have many gifts from God because of our justification by faith. And as we move into the study of Romans chapter 5, we'll learn a few of God's many gifts for his children. All right, so let's hear some music. There's nothing better for believers in Christ than knowing we're God's friend. In James chapter 2, verses 22 and 23, the Lord's half-brother said this, with Abraham, his faith in the Lord was working with his works when he offered Isaac as a sacrifice, and as a result of the works, his faith was perfected. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And Abraham was called a friend of God. As believers in Christ, you are friends of God as well. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit love you more than you think about. You may forget it at times, but here's Larnell Harris to remind you in song, you've got friends in high places.
I've got hope when things look bad, and I can smile when I should be sad. I've got friends who lift me up when I'm feeling low, and they watch over me wherever
Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying your absolute truth, the Word of God. Father, thank you for being willing to do anything for us. Thank you for declaring us legally righteous for believing in your Son. Thank you for the sacrifice you made by sending your Son to bear the wrath for sin so that we wouldn't have to. What an amazing sacrifice your Son made to provide us with the possibility of a so great salvation. As we listen to the lesson today, as we learn a few of the gifts that you have granted us because of justification by faith, speak into our lives, speak into our pain, and let your goodness wash over us. Help us to feel comforted daily by the power you have, a power that you are able and willing to use for our benefit. Remind us that we are right with you as we press forward in your plan. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, say it with me. Amen. Amen. Today's Bible lesson, what gifts does God give you along with justification by faith? What gifts does God give you along with justification by faith? Well, we continue our study of Paul's letter to the first century believers in Christ at Rome in chapter 5. And the chapter divides neatly into two passages, with passage 1 being verses 1 to 11, and passage 2 being verses 12 to 21. Today, we'll tackle the first passage. So let's hear the New American Standard translation of the passage, and then we'll study it verse by verse. Romans chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:2, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in hope of the glory of God the Father. Romans 5:3, and not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, Romans 5:4, and perseverance brings about proven character, and proven character brings about hope, Romans 5:5, and hope does not disappoint, because the unconditional love of God the Father has been poured out within our hearts through God the Holy Spirit, who was given to us as a pledge of our inheritance, Romans 5:6. For while we were still helpless, the Lord loves helpless people. At the right time, Christ died for the ungodly ones, and the ungodly ones is a reference to unbelievers. Romans 5:7. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. Romans 5:8. But God the Father demonstrates his own unconditional love toward us. He must be from Missouri because he is a show me God. God the Father demonstrates his own unconditional love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, while we were unrighteous, ungodly unbelievers, Christ died as a sin substitute for us. Romans 5:9. Much more then, having now been justified by Jesus' blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God, the Father, through him. Romans 5:10. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God the Father through the death of his Son, and we were, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his resurrection life, the Zoe life. Romans 5:11. And not only this, but we exult in God the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we have now received the reconciliation. Well, the focus of this first passage is on the benefits that God gives believers in Christ who are justified by faith. This is a lesson that should make you feel amazing about yourselves and amazing about being Christians, because our self-esteem, one of those psychological concepts, our self-esteem comes from God as believers in Christ. It does not come from anything inside of ourselves. So you'll remember the indictment of the whole human race in Romans chapters 1 to 3. Whether you're moral or immoral or religious, you're not good enough to get to heaven on your own. You're not good enough to do anything about your sin problem. How often do you feel like you're not good enough? That's accurate. We all feel like that all the time. I'm not good enough. Oh my God, I made a mistake. I'm not good enough. I hear people say that all the time. You're right. You're not good enough, but God is good enough, and God cares about people who aren't good enough, and he makes them good enough so they don't have to make themselves good enough. And when you accept this truth, when you grasp the bad news of Romans chapters 1 to 3, that you were born physically alive and spiritually dead, and spiritual death has consequences, you know you are a sinner in God's eyes. You know you need a Savior. And that is a big step. Come on in. That is a big step in your growth as a human being. The graduate just walked in. That's awesome. Welcome. You may choose to do nothing about your situation, which is tragic. Or you may choose to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And this is the most important decision you'll make in this life. Well, at the end of Romans chapter 3 through Romans chapter 4, we learn that what the Lord Jesus Christ did about our sin problem. Because of his work at the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ is able to offer the whole human race the righteousness of God, free of charge, as an admission ticket to heaven. Amen? That's what we need. We need the righteousness of God as our admission ticket to heaven. And what's great about God is once he gives it to you, he doesn't ever take it back. So we learn through Abraham's example in chapter 4 that Abraham believed the Lord's offer, and it was credited to his account as righteousness. So you have the same opportunity. Imagine yourselves in a courtroom on the day of sentencing. You've committed a heinous crime. You're guilty. Everyone knows you're guilty. And today is the day that your fate is going to be sealed. And as the judge begins to read the sentence, a hush falls over the courtroom. Everyone is eager to hear you get exactly what you deserve, the death penalty. Instead, the judge says, the defendant is not guilty. Case dismissed. Wait, what? Case dismissed, the judge continues. Mr. Defendant, another man has decided to take your place, and he will be put to death because he wants you to go free. There is outrage in the courtroom. All are certain that justice has not been done. That's what the Lord did for us. You see, when you take advantage of the Lord's offer to die for you, his willingness to incur God the Father's wrath, the death penalty on your behalf, so that you won't have to bear it yourself for all eternity, you are justified by faith. What is justification? It's the process by which God declares the guilty to be not guilty, legally considering them to be right with him because he credits his own righteousness to them. In Romans chapter 5, the Lord outlines the benefits that accrue to your account because of what the Lord did for you at the cross. What gifts does God give you along with your justification by faith? Well, two words that illustrate it, that appear four times in Romans chapter 5, much more. That's a quick way to say it. God gives you much more. Now that you're saved, he gives you much more and much more and much more and much more. Well, this is the first passage of Romans chapter 5, and it has three parts. And we'll see God's peace in verses 1 to 5, his love in verses 6 to 8, and his assurances in verses 9 to 11. But there is much more. Let's take a look. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says this, therefore, having been justified on the principle of faith, you placing your confidence, the gift of faith that you got, you placing your confidence in the Lord for your salvation, therefore, having been justified on the principle of faith in the past, it's the aorist tense in the Greek, and it means that justification is an established and irrevocable fact. Why? Because everything God does is in the past. Why is that? Because it's finished. God is not working along. He's not figuring out things as he goes. He didn't wake up this morning and say, well, I probably didn't go to sleep. But he didn't wake up this morning saying, I wonder what I'm going to do today. He's not like us. He already settled everything and settled every account. So having been justified on the principle of faith in the past, we believers in Christ now and forevermore keep on having peace with God the Father through our union with the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's taking care of our past, our present, and our future. God's first gift to us is peace. This is not the peace of God which surpasses all comprehension that Paul is talking about in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. It's not that. This is a peace treaty. It's the kind of peace that is forged when a war is over. So enmity is the word that characterizes our relationship with God the Father before Christ went to the cross. Enmity is a strong animosity, a feeling of hatred between God and man. That's what existed because of sin. Sin is the target of God the Father's wrath, and he was not pleased at all with all mankind, not since the fall of Adam. And now that the Lord Jesus Christ has paved the way for the peace treaty with the sacrifice of his blood at the cross, there's no more enmity between God and man. God says, there was a problem you couldn't fix, so I fixed it. And now, for all who trust me and my son, there is peace. I have nothing against you. That's what peace means. If you're a believer in Christ, God has nothing against you. Amen? So Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 to 15 say this, but now, in union with Christ Jesus, you believers in Christ, who formerly were far off, having been brought near to God, have been brought near to God by the blood of Christ. What does it mean to be far off? You were spiritually dead on the wrong side of a barrier, separated from God, and you were helpless and hopeless to do anything about your situation. You were far off. And far off means you are headed for the lake of fire. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. For the Lord Jesus Christ himself is our peace. Our irene is the Greek word. I love that Greek word, irene, who made both groups, Jews and Gentiles, into one group, the church age believers, and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. What is the barrier of the dividing wall? Enmity, caused by what? Ephesians 2, 15. By abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, the Mosaic law, so that in himself he might make the two groups into one new man, thus establishing peace. Peace. God has nothing against you believers in Christ. Wow, wow, and wow. Wow. Did you wake up thinking that? I feel so good. God doesn't have anything against me. You didn't wake up thinking that. You woke up scratching your head and wondering why you had to wake up. Amen? Romans chapter 5, verse 2. And through our union with Christ also, we believers in Christ have obtained our direct access to a person of privileged rank, God the Father, who placed us into this sphere of grace, a sphere of grace in which we presently stand. And through our union with Christ also, we keep on exulting in the future hope of the glory of God. The next gift from God is direct access. In the Old Testament, people had to go through a Levitical priest who then went to God. In the Roman Catholic Church today, people go through a priest as an intermediary before they can get to God. They go through saints before they can get to God. That is not the Christian experience. We have direct access. And when we have a relationship with God, we can go to him to converse with him in prayer with no need for an intermediary. In this life, there are barriers to keep an insignificant person away from a significant person. Like a presidential motorcade with police escort. As a matter of fact, one of my friends does driving in California. He said yesterday there was a motorcade and police were all around, and he was trying to figure out what it was, and it was Kamala Harris. She was over in California, and she had a motorcade and police all around to keep the insignificant people of California away from her. Amen? But there is no such barrier with God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 encourages us. It says, therefore, let us believers in Christ keep on drawing near with confidence to the throne of grace. God expects you to come before the throne of grace boldly and ask him for anything you want so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in times of need. Our divine dad sits on a throne in heaven, waiting at all times to welcome us with open arms. And we go to him and we say, Abba, the Hebrew word for father. We go to our father with power. Next gift, the sphere of grace. We are placed into a protective, spiritual, geodesic dome, and it is there, and in it is an atmosphere of unconditional love, forgiveness, and freedom. That's what a geodesic dome looks like if you're watching on video. If you don't know what it looks like, think about Disney World and the geodesic dome at Disney World. This was created by Southern Illinois University Saluki, Buckminster Fuller. And a geodesic dome is a series of triangles that creates the most surface area underneath a structure. It's huge. And that is where God placed us. He placed us into a spiritual geodesic dome. And we breathe in the beautiful air of unconditional love, forgiveness, and freedom. Amen? Just fantastic. When we get the shackles off of ourselves, when we stop looking over our shoulder, expecting that something's going to change that was behind us. We forget those things that are behind and we reach forward to what lies ahead. We are no longer in bondage to sin. We don't even give it a thought. And we are no longer deluded into thinking that keeping the law is somehow pleasing to God. Romans chapter 6, 14 could have saved me 50 years of misery if I had just studied it. It says, sin shall not any longer be a sovereign master over you believers in Christ. I've been a believer in Christ since I was 8 years old. Evangelized to by an ice cream truck. And if I had known then that sin from that moment was no longer master over me because I was not under the law, I was under grace. I can't tell you how many miserable nights it would have saved me biting on my nails and wondering if God liked me. He does. He loves me unconditionally, just like he loves you unconditionally, whether you're a believer in Christ or not. After these three gifts alone, we are so happy, we exalt. But there's much more. When God's generosity settles into our consciousness, there is nothing else to do but worship, exalt, and praise our God. The next gift is glory. We have a promise that we are fellow heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ and that everything he gets, we're also going to get. He is seated at the right hand of God the Father right this minute. Who else is seated there with him? We are, every believer in Christ, because we get everything he gets. And this means that we have an amazing future ahead. In John chapter 17, verse 22, the Lord says that to his Father in prayer, the glory which you, God the Father, have given me, I, the Lord Jesus Christ, have given to believers in Christ. Colossians chapter 3, verse 4, when Christ, who is our resurrection life, is revealed, then you believers in Christ also will be revealed with him in glory. That's our future. It is glorious. It is great. I can't wait. It's going to be beautiful for all eternity. With no interference from Satan and his noise and his world system and his propaganda and his trash talk. So what does this mean? It means that believers in Christ don't fear judgment day. We are going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Hebrews 9:27, I think it is, says, it is appointed for men to die once and then after that comes the judgment. we're going to be judged. We're going to be in front of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are not, as believers in Christ, going to fear that day. Amen? We're not. We don't fear meeting the Lord. We don't fear it, that he soon will appear on the sky to come for us in the rapture of the church, the exit resurrection of the church. We know we have a future appointment with him, and we look forward to it. We accept the peace that he orchestrated for us. We know that we meet him, he will have nothing against us. We know when we meet him, he will never bring up a sin that we've ever committed. We know that the judgment in our case is the providing of rewards where we did the things that he set out for us to do. We have, as believers in Christ, a very bright future. So recapping the gifts in Romans 5, verses 1 and 2, therefore, having been justified on the principle of faith in the past, we believers in Christ now and forevermore keep on having peace. There's one gift with God the Father through our union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5, 2, and through our union with Christ also, we believers in Christ have obtained our direct access to a person of privileged rank, God the Father, who places us into a sphere of grace, a geodesic dome of grace, a sphere in which we presently stand, and through our union with Christ also, we keep on exalting continuous action in the future hope of the glory of God, another amazing gift of God. Notice the things God gifts us with were gifted to us in the past. God does everything in past tense, in aorist tense in the Greek. It's done and it stands finished forever. Salvation is in the aorist tense. It's done and it stands finished forever. Our sanctification is done and it stands finished forever. God does everything that way. His work is finished. His gifts are finished. His gifts are given. Romans chapter 5, verse 3. We not only exult in all these things from our past, righteousness, justification by faith, in our present peace, direct access and a sphere of grace, in our future glory, but we also exult in our tribulations that are given to us by God the Father, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. That's the next gift, tribulation. Maybe you don't think of tribulation as a gift, but it is. Tribulation is pressure. The parent who doesn't put his kids under pressure is not worthy of being a parent. I don't believe you heard me, so I'm going to say it again. The parent who doesn't put his kids under pressure is not worthy of being a parent. Why? He who spares the rod hates his child. How many parents does that describe? A lot. Pressure has a result. And the Lord allowed the Apostle Paul to undergo pressure. Now, you put kids under pressure today, they're whining like babies. But what was Paul's reaction to the pressure that he was put under, pressure that no one in our generation will ever feel? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, it says, we are afflicted in every way. That's Paul talking about himself. We're afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We're perplexed, confused. What is this? But not despairing. 2 Corinthians 4, 9, we are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are struck down, but not destroyed. What does that mean? God is not interested in his believers being soft. So what does he do? He puts us under tribulation. Think about your life. Think about the pressures you've experienced. Think about how God keeps on punching and punching and punching with tribulation so that you aren't soft, so that you can live, and it has a result. God gives us tribulation, and then he takes us through it, he teaches us with it, and he delivers it from us. Amen? Truly, he shapes us with tribulation because tribulation has an amazing result. Well, what result? Romans chapter 5, verses 3 to 5, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, the Greek word for endurance. Romans 5:4, perseverance brings about proven character, and proven character brings about hope. Romans 5:5, and hope does not disappoint. Hope in God does not disappoint. Why? Because hope in Greek is absolute confidence. Because of what God puts us through, we have absolute confidence. Because the unconditional love of God the Father has been poured out within our hearts through God the Holy Spirit, who was given to us by God the Father as a pledge of our inheritance. We are heirs with Christ. We have an inheritance coming up in the future. We have an amazing future as Christians. So the gift of tribulation produces perseverance, also known as endurance, proven character, which is integrity, and hope, which is the absolute confidence that everything God says is going to come true. What is better than gifts that produce God's result? That's amazing. Tribulation is God's way of transforming us so that we're not conformed to Satan and his world system. And in the face of tribulation, years of it, where you get punched and punched and punched and punched, and people just keep punching you and gut punching you, what happens? He's teaching us to press on. He's teaching us to endure. He's teaching us to have character. What is proven character? It's integrity. You say something, you do it. You want something, you get it. It's the ability to take a licking and keep on ticking like a Timex watch. Amen? It takes a licking and keeps on ticking. I don't know why they stopped using that slogan. That's the best. That's one of the best slogans ever. He takes a licking and keeps on ticking. There's joy in suffering through tribulation because we know Romans chapter 8, verse 28 is true. We believers in Christ know that God the Father causes all things to work together for good to those who love God the Father. And that's all believers in Christ. Who are the believers in Christ? We are those who are called according to the Father's purpose. Another of God's gifts is unconditional love. God keeps on pouring his unconditional love into us. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10 says this, "This is unconditional love. Not that we love God unconditionally, but that he loved us unconditionally and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." What is propitiation? God the Father acknowledges one and only one sacrifice for the payment of our sins, and that's the blood of his Son that was shed at the cross. And that's it. And that's why Christ went to the cross, to shed his blood so that our sins could be paid for, they're out of the way, and they are no longer an issue in our lives. Well, we'll learn more about unconditional love in the second section of this passage, but think for a moment. The Lord gives us a relationship with his Father. The Lord gives us God the Holy Spirit as a guide into all the truth. And the Lord gives us himself. He's available for an immediate relationship that saves. Protection, person. He gives us everything. That's quite a lot of gifts. And after the break, we'll take the offering and then we'll continue with part two of this three-part passage in Romans chapter 5. Take a five-minute break.
Scatter the good seed on the land, but it is fed and watered by God's almighty hand. He sends the snow in winter, the warmth to swell the grain, the breezes and the sunshine, the soft, refreshing rain. Love.
Today's Bible lesson, what gifts does God give you along with justification by faith? What gifts does God give you, believers in Christ, along with justification by faith? Well, often as part of my prayers, I ask God the Holy Spirit to open your hearts with a spirit of generosity. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17 says this, "The one who is gracious to a poor man lends to the Lord, and the Lord will repay him for this good deed." May God the Holy Spirit give you a burning desire to serve those who are spiritually bankrupt. Your generosity is the means by which Barah Ministries can provide an accurate gospel message to be enjoyed all around the world. Let's welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall with one of his always inspiring offering messages.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Denny Goodall, and I'm thankful to be a deacon at Barah Ministries because you face no rejection here. No matter who you are, what you are, what emotional baggage you may have. We were talking about hair earlier, and whatever, if you have good hair, bad hair,
hey.
No hair, you know, the geodesic dome hair. there's no rejection here, and that's because we follow the truth. We look through God's eyes. We don't look at the world's opinion of things. And you're going to face rejection in life, and we see that Jesus faced rejection. He grew up in a town, Nazareth, and was a carpenter's son and kind of a lowly kind of guy, but people knew him, right? It was his hometown, and he went back there to teach, and they rejected him. They basically booed him out of his own hometown, rejected by his friends and family. And he took the show on the road and went all around the Mediterranean and was attacked by the Pharisees. He wasn't just going against them. He was attacked by them. They actively persecuted him and went against him. He was rejected by the ruling class, rejected by anybody religious. So he was rejected at his hometown. He was rejected in other towns by the ruling classes and by everybody. And he still wasn't daunted. Jesus taught peace. Jesus taught love. And they branded him a criminal. They gave up Barabbas instead of Jesus. And Jesus went, after the ultimate rejection, he still went to the cross for us. And so we can take heart. We can still have hope because whatever we face is nothing compared to what he faced. And yet he still proceeded to move on and go past it. And we can see in Hebrews, I like to call it Hebrews 1, 2, 3. Hebrews 12, 3. Keep on thinking of such a person, Jesus Christ, who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary or fainting in your souls. So there's never a time to faint in your souls because Jesus went ahead of us. He already has the win. We're not fighting for victory. We're fighting from victory. And so at this point, you're not going to reject my offer to give it the offering. This is something we can do that's worship. It's something that we faithfully do. We don't do it reluctantly. We do it because we want to. And only you know your resources that you have. But we just ask that you give of your time, your talent, and your treasure, not just your money. Give your spiritual gift. Wake it up. Use it for this ministry. Use it in this world because it needs it. We need more people to not reject this world, reject people in this world. We need more people to give out the gospel, and that's what this ministry does, and that's what you support by giving to this ministry. So thank you very much, and hit it, Norbert.
Sanka, you did? Today's Bible lesson, what gifts does God give you along with justification by faith? What gifts does God give you along with justification by faith? Well, welcome back. If it isn't apparent to you yet in our study of Romans, God loves sinners, helpless, hopeless, ungodly, unrighteous, unbelieving sinners. So let's consider relationships for a moment. The best way to know if someone is on your side is to evaluate how they treat you when you're at your worst. What makes you special if you treat people well only when they are pleasing? The test of proven character is how people treat you when they find out that you're human, when you make mistakes. When you meet someone for the first time, you don't really know if they are on your side or not. You give them your trust as a gift, and you see what they do with it. Eventually, they reveal who they are, and when they do, believe them. You will have people in your life who reveal that they're on your side and they want a relationship with you. The truest relationships are the ones where people are with you through thick and thin, no matter what. You will have people in your life who reveal that they want to use you. The transactional users will stay in your life as long as you provide. And when you stop providing, they will throw you away like a used edamame pea pod, and they'll move on to the next person to use. So what's God's relationship approach? Romans chapter 5, verses 6 to 8 make it completely clear. For while we were still helpless, while we were unbelievers, wallowing in slavery to our sins, At the right time, the Lord Jesus Christ died for the ungodly. He died for unbelieving, unrighteous sinners. The Lord died for us when we were spiritually bankrupt. The indictment of the whole human race in Romans chapter 3, verses 10 to 18 make it clear that the Lord died for us when we were at our worst. Now, from a human point of view, what the Lord did for us makes absolutely no sense. We wouldn't choose to die for our enemies. We wouldn't send a son to be slaughtered as a stand-in for the worst people among us. In fact, there probably isn't one of us who would send our son to die for anything. Paul puts a fine point on this idea in verse 7. He says, "For one will hardly die for a righteous man." Righteous man is a believer in Christ, by the way. "For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die." Probably not, though. Verse 8 says, Romans 5:8 says, "But God the Father demonstrates his own unconditional love toward all mankind, in that while we were yet sinners, while we were unbelieving, ungodly, unrighteous sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ died for us in our place." That's another of God's gifts, unconditional love. The truest test of unconditional love is how someone treats you when you're at your worst. The Lord is the standard for great treatment and true relationships. He loves us no matter what. The ones who use you and leave you were never with you. Proverbs 23, verse 7 says this, "The selfish person thinks within himself, as a selfish person thinks within himself, so is he. He says, eat and drink, but his heart is not with you." God is simply not this way. He gives and gives and gives and requires nothing of you, because his unconditional love is a one-way love. He knows you're weak. He wants to help. All you have to do is trust in him, and you're flooded with his gifts. Finally, the gift of assurance. Romans chapter 5, verses 9 and 11. "Much more then, having now been justified by the Lord Jesus Christ's blood, the justification by faith, we believers in Christ shall be saved from the wrath of God the Father that is to come through our union with Christ. Our sins are paid for with Christ's blood, and now we have the gift of assurance that we will never be at the wrong end of the wrath of God the Father." Romans 5:10. "For if, for the sake of argument, while we were the enemies of God the Father, we were reconciled to God the Father through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by the Lord Jesus Christ's life." God gives us the gift of friendship, so we are no longer enemies. There is a debating technique described in Latin as an a fortiori argument. It contends that if the stronger argument is true, a lesser argument is obviously true. In verses 9 and 10, Paul uses the method, and he uses much more to illustrate. In Romans chapter 5, verse 9, Paul argues that if the stronger thing has happened, that we are saved by the shedding of Christ's blood at the cross, then the lesser thing must be much more true, that we are protected from the wrath of God. In Romans chapter 5, verse 10, Paul argues that if the stronger thing has happened, that we were reconciled when we were God's enemies, then the lesser thing must be much more true, that we are saved by the gift of the resurrection life, the Zoe life, the life we are credited with at the moment of salvation, the life of righteousness. Romans 5:11. "And not only this, we believers in Christ also exult in God the Father through our union with the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation." God gives us the gift of reconciliation. The barrier between God and man is removed. God has brought together parties that were hostile to each other, thus establishing peace. All right, so let's see how the New Living Translation handles the passage, beginning at Romans chapter 5, verse 1. "Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, We have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Romans 5:2. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, the sphere of grace. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. Romans 5:3. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. Romans 5:4. And endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. Romans 5:5. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, unconditionally, because he has given us God the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Romans 5:6. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time, and he died for us sinners. Romans 5:7. Now, most people would not be willing to die for a righteous person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who's especially good. Romans 5:8. But God the Father showed his great unconditional love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Romans 5:9. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God the Father's wrath. Romans 5:10. For since our friendship with God the Father was restored by the death of his Son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his Son. Romans 5:11. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God the Father, because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God the Father. So what are the myriad of gifts God gives us because of our justification by faith? Well, that'll be a great thing for you to review this week as you play the lesson over and over again and let these things sink into your minds. Rest in it. Reflect on it. You are special to God as believers in Christ. You are in the much more care of our Lord. Well, the closing moments of this lesson could be the 10 most important minutes of your life. You'll be introduced to the good news concerning how you can spend all eternity in heaven when you close your eyes in this life. We want you to know that God wants you. What he wants from you is that you make the most important decision of your life. God gave you an amazing gift from the moment of birth, volition, the ability to choose. You have the power of free will, the power of choice, and you can make your own decisions. What do you choose to believe about God? There are many beliefs about God, opinions or convictions or confidence in the existence of something that doesn't seem provable. Yet everything with God is provable. There's no need for blind faith with God. He reveals himself in ways that make sense to human beings, which means he reveals himself in ways that make sense to you. And if he didn't, what kind of God would he be? What would make him worthy of worship? Romans chapter 1, verse 20 says this: since the creation of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ's invisible attributes, his eternal power, and his deity have been clearly seen by all mankind from the inside and from outside. Continuing in Romans 1:20, being understood through everything that has been made in the entire created universe, so that all mankind, especially unbelievers, are without excuse in the matter of knowing God. The problem? Satan, the enemy of God, prefers we have beliefs. He knows there's a big difference between beliefs and truth. Only when our beliefs and the truth are the same are our beliefs significant. Satan hates truth. Do you choose to believe Satan's lies, or do you choose to believe God's truth? The Bible is a manual provided by God as a strategy for your life. And when you live under the suggestion of God's word, we have a high-impact life. When we listen to Satan and his false teachers, we struggle. Many people believe they can impress God so much he'll let them into heaven because of their good deeds and religious practices. They give money to beggars. They give food to the homeless. They give back to the community. And while admirable, none of these deeds are good enough to get you into heaven, according to Titus chapter 3, verse 5. The Lord Jesus Christ saved us believers in Christ not on the basis of deeds which we have done in self-righteousness, but according to his mercy, not giving us the wrath of God that sin deserves, by the washing of regeneration and through renewing by God the Holy Spirit. The Bible directs all mankind to let God do the saving. You would never want to put the burden of your salvation on your own back. Your good deeds won't get you into heaven. God's plan can get you into heaven. The one way, the only way to get to heaven is through placing your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. John chapter 14, verse 6 says this, Jesus said to the doubting apostle Thomas, I am the way to salvation. I am the truth through the word of God, and I am the resurrection life, eternal life. And no one comes to God the Father but through believing in me. The Apostle Paul describes this amazing Jewish Messiah, Jesus, the Christ, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. He says, I, Paul, deliver to you as of primary importance the gospel message I also received from God, that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Old Testament scriptures, and he was buried, and he was raised from the dead on the third day according to the Old Testament scriptures. When you choose to believe that Jesus Christ is God, when you choose to believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, these are much more than beliefs. It's the absolute truth. So how do you get to heaven when you close your eyes in this life? Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 say this, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, that he is God, and if you believe in your heart that God the Father raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10:10. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in the imputation of absolute righteousness by God, which is your admission ticket to heaven. And with the mouth a person confesses, admitting faith in Christ alone, resulting in salvation. It's wise to let God save you, because once God does something, it can't be undone, because God never changes his mind. John chapter 10, verse 28 says this, I, the Lord Jesus Christ, give eternal life to believers in Christ, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Rejecting a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ has consequences. Matthew chapter 13, verses 40 to 42 say this, so just as weeds are gathered up and burned with fire, so it shall be at the end of the age. Matthew 13, 41, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, will send forth his elect angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks, which are unbelievers, and those who commit lawlessness, unbelievers, Matthew 13, 42. And the elect angels will throw unbelievers into the furnace of fire, the lake of fire. And in that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Yes, there is a hell. And if you end up there, it will have been because of your choice. It is not God's will that you spend eternity in the lake of fire. So make the most important choice of your life. Do what's suggested in Acts chapter 16, verse 31, which says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved by God, you and everyone in your household who also believes. John chapter 3, verse 17, God the Father did not send God the Son, the Lord, who took on human form as Jesus the Christ, into the world to judge the world. But God the Father sent God the Son into the world that the world might be saved through him. Take the free gift of eternal life right now. There's no time to waste because God wants you. Why bother working for your salvation with good deeds when it's a free gift? Let the Lord Jesus Christ's work on the cross give back to you. Well, let's close with music. The Lord's half-brother James reminds us of another irrevocable fact in James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. He says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, James 1:3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. In James 1:4, and let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Well, here's June Murphy to remind us that when God gives us tribulation, one of his many gifts to us is for our benefit, and her song, Count It All Joy.
Count it all joy when you the testing of your faith is worthwhile. It can produce in you patience when you're non-obedient child. When you fall into various trials, count it all joy. Count it afflictions are momentary and light. Count it all joy. Things work for the good when the attitude is right. You know that heartaches and troubles will one day be out of sight. Afflictions should count it all joy. With diligence, you can add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love.
Almighty God and Father, thank you for your amazing gifts. Help us to relax. Remind us under pressure that you're there for us. Let us live in an enemy kingdom knowing that we have a peace treaty with you, that we live in the sphere of your grace, that we have direct access to you, that you love us, that you forgive us, that you freed us from sin and the law, and that you... And because of that, that we have absolute confidence, hope, that you will lead us to share your glory in our very certain future because we are friends of God and reconciled to you. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Say it with me. Amen. Amen. The announcements, please make it a habit to listen to the announcements. They're posted separately, and you can keep current on things going on and coming up and Barah Ministries. Please make it a habit to listen to the announcements. I already said that. I'm from the Department of Redundancy Department. Discussing the lesson in prayer circle is coming up next. Join us live or on Zoom immediately following the lesson. Got biblical questions? Ask the pastor, pastor@BarahMinistries.com. Want us to pray for someone? Send us your request to pastor@BarahMinistries.com. Keep on studying the Word of God daily. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.